You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com. Dennis Bayak, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets, joins us. Dennis, welcome back to the show. Appreciate it. The Winnipeg Jets, you know, if you look, very tough division they're in, of course. You got Nashville and Chicago and St. Louis and Minnesota playoff teams. The Dallas Stars have been retooling heavily this offseason. The Jets' major move, of course, in between the pipes. Do you think they've done enough to get back? Like, if they get solid goaltending, do you think with Line A and Scheifele and their defense core that they can compete in that ultra-tough Central?
Well, certainly the Central has gotten a lot tougher, no doubt, when you look around what some of the teams have done during the offseason. Dallas especially, I guess, is the team that jumps out at you. So the Jets needed to address the goaltending situation. It was an area of concern at the end of last season and something they wanted to address, and they have. Hopefully Steve Mason is the guy. The best way for them to go was via unrestricted free agency. That way you don't have to give anybody up to try and in a trade or whatever. You know, and then we'll the key with that is you don't need a guy that's going to come in and play you 60 or 65 games. Connor Hellebuyck is certainly capable of winning some games for you, as we saw last year, especially in the first half of the season. So just need somebody to come in when Connor Hellebuyck or the team hits a bit of a rough spot, maybe a veteran guy that can come in and win you a couple of games and kind of get you around that corner and back on the winning way. So hopefully it's only a two-year deal, and hopefully Steve Mason's the answer.
They signed also Dmitry Kulikov, a guy who didn't play a lot last year, and a fairly significant term in cash for a guy you don't really know much about. What do you see with him fitting in?
Well, I remember when Dmitry Kulikov came into the league with Florida. He was, had a lot of skill, and he's kind of changed his game, I think, a little bit. He's become a little bit more physical and now can play in all situations. Certainly did not have a good year last season, and I don't disagree with what you said there, Jason, that they maybe overpaid a little bit in both dollars and in term. Two things maybe come into play. Sometimes getting guys to Winnipeg isn't easy, and secondly, there wasn't a whole lot of defensemen out there, and they needed to get a veteran defenseman, because they've got Toby Enstrom coming off surgery, Tyler Myers is coming off surgery. They've got Tucker Pullman, a young defenseman that's coming off double shoulder surgery during the offseason. So there's some question marks. They don't know what Jacob Trouba's long-term status in Winnipeg is. So they had to get themselves a little bit of backup there, and that's what they did. And maybe they did pay a little bit too much, but the bottom line is they've got the player, and hopefully Dmitry Kulikov can get back to maybe the player he was a couple of years ago. He certainly, as I said, didn't have a great year last year for a couple of reasons. Part of it was health, and we'll see whether the change of scenery and if they can keep him healthy and see what he can do. So it does give them a fairly veteran top six if you look at it and break it down any way you want. The other question mark, I guess, would be Josh Morrissey. Is he going to continue his progression coming off a great rookie season on the blue line? Him and Trouba were a terrific pair at the end. So there is some question marks on the back end, and that's why I think they had to go out and get somebody.
Well, you look at their back end, and I was going to say, Morrissey and Trouba played really well. So let's say they're a pair. You've got Byfuglien, Myers, Enstrom, and Kulikov. Who do you see as the best guy to play with Byfuglien in the top pair?
Well, him and Enstrom have been together for a long time. You know, we may see a situation, and I know everybody likes left-right, but to try and get a little more ice time for Tyler Myers, I think there will be times in a game where one of them may move to the left side and they may be paired. Again, some of that's going to depend on Toby Enstrom's health, coming off the surgery at the end of last season. But Byfuglien and Enstrom have been a pair for a long time, are very comfortable with each other. Byfuglien played with Trouba at the start of last year, because Tyler Myers wasn't there for the majority of the season. You know, so then do we see Myers and Kulikov fall in? Myers is going to get some power play time. So you've got three right-handed defensemen that, could see some power play time. So that's where you might see Byfuglien and Myers paired up would be on the man advantage, but to try get some minutes up. But the comfortable thing to do would be to pair Byfuglien and Enstrom and kind of let them do what they have been doing for the last number of years. But again, some of that's going to depend on what kind of camp Josh Morrissey has. But he had a terrific year last year, so hopefully that can continue.
You know, from afar, to me, it looks like the group is pretty happy with their D. I think their goaltending, hopefully it gets sorted out with Mason and the young player. But I see a lot of young skaters up front, and they've been very patient. You know, Liney, Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Patan, Dan Armia. Are these the guys that ultimately, you know, assuming the rest is average, let's say, at the worst, are these the guys who are going to push this team past some of those very tough divisional opponents?
As long as nobody has a step back. Okay. Nikolai Ehlers going into his second season last year, you know, everybody wondered, okay, is he going to continue with the progression? And he did. He had a very good year. So there's no reason to believe that he's not going to be the player that we saw at the end of last year. Patrick Laine, I just simply think, has too much talent. I'm not certainly going to compare him to Connor McDavid, but we didn't see a drop-off in Connor McDavid's second year. I don't expect to see a drop-off in Austin Matthews' second year, William Nylander's second year. I just think these guys are too skilled and they have too much talent to let that happen. In Laine's situation, he just simply shoots the puck so well that, he will get his scoring opportunities. And whether he can increase his numbers from last year, I guess time will tell. There is probably a spot and a couple of and one question mark with regards to the top nine. So now will Nick Patan be able to step in and take that? Will Kyle Connor step in and take that? Will one of the other guys step in and take that? One of the newcomers, Jack Roslovic, came in at the end of the year. So there is probably an opening up there. Will Andrew Kopp get the opportunity? He had some good offensive numbers through stretches last year when he got moved up into the top nine. So there's some question marks there, and that's going to play itself out at training camp and see where everything falls in. There was some talk that they would have liked to have maybe gotten their hands on one more veteran forward, more of a bottom-end guy. And that may still happen, depending. There's still some guys out there. So we'll see what happens in that department. But Kyle Connor is the guy. Nick Patan has had some opportunities. Joel Armia is an interesting study because there's nights where you think this guy should be a 20, 25-goal guy. He's very good defensively, and confidence, to me, seems to be the only thing that's missing from Joel Armia's game. I'm not sure he realizes how good of a player he can be. So you kind of hope that maybe with more experience that happens. But Kyle Connor is going to be the guy at training camp that everybody's going to be keeping an eye on, just to see whether his time with the Moose last year and the success he had with the Moose last year can be brought to the National Hockey League.
Dennis Bayak joins us talking Winnipeg Jets. Mark Scheifele, fantastic season for him. Scheifele, 82 points this past year, first year of his deal, so the Jets are loving that. Nick Ehlers, another player who came on, he's the Jets have a ton of RFAs at the end of this season. And of course, I think he would be right at the top of the list, him and Jacob Trouba, and I guess now Josh Morrissey as well. But you look at Ehlers, what did you see different in his game last season, and where can he go this year?
A little more consistency, a little more speed throughout his game. Maybe a little more, and he joked about this at the end of the year. He thought his stops and starts got better last year versus maybe at the start of last year and the year before, where he still had some of those habits where you take the big swoop and try to get back into the play that way versus the quick turnaround and get going the other way. So we saw that near the end of the year with him. He's got a very good shot, terrific speed to burn, and that's the way the game is going now. You guys know that. And there's no reason to believe that he can't continue the way he finished up last season. Certainly Mark Scheifele, there's no reason to believe that he's going to have any kind of a drop-off simply because of the fact how much time he spends on becoming a better hockey player. So I certainly expect the Winnipeg Jets to be in the playoffs. I mean, it's easy to say that until you start looking at the Western Conference and say, all right, pick the teams that aren't going to be in. No, every year we have some surprises, and this year's probably going to be no different. But it's one thing to say that the Jets should be in, but as I said, you start looking at who's going to miss, and all of a sudden maybe it doesn't look that easy.
Well, I think that though the fan base there is starting to get a little antsy. You know, there's been this patient build, building from within, drafting, accumulating people through trades like that. The Evander Kane trade was still an amazing one for the Jets, in my opinion. But you know, is there some desperation on? Maybe that's a bit drastic, but is there a real need to make the playoffs for that fan base? There are no more, you know, patience.
Desperation might be a little strong, but I don't disagree with that. I think this is a very important summer, and they've already addressed some issues, and now it's going to be a very important season for the Winnipeg Jets. I think there would be major disappointment if they didn't make the playoffs. Now, there's always caveats to that, whether it be injuries, whether it just be you can't. Despite your point total, other teams have had real good seasons as well, whatever the case may be. But I think people have been patient and understanding that they're going to let the young guys play. And that's where it was interesting last year when everybody talked about coaching changes in the National Hockey League and some mentioned Paul Maurice's name. Paul Maurice wasn't going anywhere. They knew going into last season exactly what the plan was. That was to play the young guys. He accepted that. And make them into NHL players. And so now go into this year, and had they gotten some saves and some wins from at the right time last year, and you can't blame everything on the netminders, there were still some other issues. There was too many penalties. The penalty killing has to be better. So there is other issues. There are other areas that they have to get better at. But I do believe there would be major disappointment right from ownership on down if this team isn't in a postseason spot at the end of this season.
Well, you know, a lot of it goes back to goaltending. I know a lot of Jets fans have been begging to get rid of Pavlik just because he hasn't been a quality, competent starter. And they bring in Mason, albeit on a two-year deal. Do you think Paul Maurice, though, goes with the veteran to start? Is this Mason's job to lose to Hellebuck?
I would think so. And yet I know that Paul Maurice, going into last season, had a lot of confidence in Connor Hellebuck. And when you look at Connor Hellebuck's numbers, and everybody talks, why didn't the Jets make a trade? If you look at Connor Hellebuck's numbers the first half of last season, they were very good. And there really wasn't this urgency for a goaltender. You know, Michael Hutchinson just struggled last year. If you look at his win total, take away that last run when the Winnipeg Jets were basically not going to make the playoffs and he won five games, his win total just wasn't good enough, and it's unfortunate because he was coming off a pretty good season. So you can't just throw him into the mix, I guess. But at the same time, when you look at it, it's going to be Mason and Hellebuck, I would have to think, to start the season. And my belief would be that unless Connor Hellebuck has an outstanding training camp, I think they're going to start the season with Steve Mason as their number one guy, and try and have a very hungry Connor Hellebuck ready to go at a moment's notice.
Dennis, as always, great stuff. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
You guys as well, and we'll see you in the fall in Penticton at the tournament.